David's bronze suit. He lies in bed and groans with injury sustained from falling off the roof last week and wakes me up delirious. He sees me lying in my bed too tired to speak, my trach tube just removed. The orderlies are taking care to change my sheets. The reek of draining blood comes to my nostrils fresh with ruin, black and rife. My bandaged flesh so sore the rest of me ignores a nurse who takes my vital signs. A TV's on to pass the time. A game show, which is worse than Gilligan reruns. My leg is gone above the knee, and I am so averse to look at it, to cast my gaze upon what's missing. I close my eyes, drift to sleep. I go there to that world beneath the deep. He wakes me up and asks me what I call the nurse. Yes, I. Too late. I've pissed the bed, he says. Go back to sleep. Forget it all. But I look over and his piss is red and dripping, pouring on the floor. Y'all had better get in here, I thought I said. They take him down to surgery and back between my nightmare and the nap I lack. It takes some time before he stirs enough to speak again. Are you still there, my friend? His voice carries between the curtains, gruff and raspy. Yes, my only word to send by airmail wobbles back there in the rough at him. I am naked here to the wind, exposed to doctors prodding. I am shy, but I don't care. I've lost all pride and sigh. A chopper lands nearby on the heliport. An orderly cries out to colleagues, "Fresh meat!" She fluffs my pillows, rushes to abort her chores for new arrivals in the heat blast from exhaust outside. With the effort of an athlete. I am jealous, complete with knowledge that I'll never run again. I anguish and sob through the whirling din. I promise me no one will ever see me cry, be sorry for myself, but deal with grace the loss I carry, lest I be thought a cripple. Here, I will have to steal some courage before I leave this place, free of what would make me so, for me to heal. I watch him over there, a broken neck in cast, immobile for some time, a wreck. But he can speak, my God, how he can speak, and never stops, it seems. My throat is sore and hoarse. My mouth is dry, and from my cheek I pick a speck of gravel out, and more around and behind my ear, while I seek for tissues on the stand. It is a chore for me to move my arm and grasp the box. He says to me, "My name is David Cox." He says he lives on Bainbridge Island. Good. Says demons and angels are fighting here right now in front of us. One wears a hood and they're fighting above him with no fear of being seen. I'm thinking that I should perhaps call the nurse in and make it clear he's lost his mind again. And I can't take it now. Please knock him out for pity's sake. I find myself stuck in an army tank with him. And we are rolling down the road, the interstate, through Kansas, with my rank of sergeant. He's a lowly private toad who talks and talks. It's cramped in here, and dank enough to fry the circuits, overload the fuses, strand us on the highway, dead. He wakes me, puking up his guts in bed. He says that he's a Mormon, I don't care if he's a Hare Krishna in a robe. His wife comes in and nods to me. The pair of them begin to whisper, mouth to lobe, forget I'm here. Their special underwear is on my mind, and I can't help but probe their conversation with a smile or two. What is a good Baptist supposed to do? Anemia forces me down the flights for plasma. My type, I hope, A, I think. It's positive. They know. Down here, the lights are brighter for sticking an arm. I blink away the painful stick of steel. She writes, 1 unit plasma delivered. I wink at her with my unswollen eye for kicks, and she winks back, both arms full of pricks. I ask me questions in the green-lit dark while David's babbling carries on. I can't do much about it. I feel sorry. I narc him out and wait impatiently for scant sounds of shoes coming my way, and I mark their cadence, recognize the nurse, and chant her name beneath my breath. Go, Alice, go. My questions spin and spin, take me below. I ask the doctor what he did with it, my leg. He says they took it to the dump in Oregon, buried it in a pit for medical waste. I feel the nerves jump in my thigh beneath the bandages. Shit. I lie there trying to console my stump. I turn my head away and ride the train along the coast south through the driving rain. I don't know why they take him out this time and bring him back at midnight. Really late for operations, but it's better I'm in the dark than know too much of his fate, except he snores and swallows all the slime his sinus drains. Why don't they elevate? Oh my, he looks just like the Tin Man. They've wrapped his torso in bronze like a can. I watch the cars out on I-5 at rush hour. It's a jam fest twice a day at least. I pretend the horns and the crush of metal, breaking glass and screams, the beast of sirens which are real, and those whose brush with death I feel down to the throbbing feast of open nerves where my knee was once, and wonder if I'll go on other hunts. He wakes me up again, says, call the nurse. I'm groggy, reach out for the button knob. He's wheezing. I can hear it. So much worse than before. A lung's collapsed and a blob of blood spills on his gown. I hear a curse when she comes in. Oh, damn. Here comes a mob of doctors, nurses, orderlies, and staff. They can't move him now. And I hear him laugh, and in delirium he yells above them all and says, are you watching this, man? Yeah, I say. He says this is the end of him, clenched teeth and pain. They do a scan and call for a torch set. And all the love I feel for doctors flees my mind. No fan of panic. I see them scurrying and place a leather cover where they burn a space. It seems to take forever. They sedate him, and a slag falls on his skin inside the heated bronze. He screams out loud too late and passes out. A surgeon slits his side. He tries 3 times. Counts to reinflate the lung and gets it on the 4th. The hide is cooking from the slag. Dave's unaware, alive, but unaware. He doesn't care. I see all of this because they forgot to close the curtains in their dizzy rush. I can't complain. They saved my life and fought to save my leg. It's been 2 weeks. I hush my thoughts and go to sleep. It's hot. I'm hunting quail on Dad's old farm. I flush the cubby and bag a double. My dog hunts dead, and I lift myself from the fog. I'm all alone when I wake up and see the sun shining brightly through the window. I'm on another floor, the seventh. He is gone. They bring me breakfast. There are low tones in the hallway while I eat. Let it be. It's quiet like I like, and I let go. It's just another stage to getting out. Maybe David's taking a different route.